the gospel according to Mark chapter 8, starting at the 31st verse. Jesus tells them what's in store for him. Peter doesn't like it. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, but on the 3 days again, rise again. He said all this to them quite plainly, quite openly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd together with his disciples and said to them, "If any of you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit you to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Indeed, what can you get in return for your soul? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words and this sinful and adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes again in glory with his Father and all the holy angels." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And let these words be yours and bless. Amen. It's one of the most commonly asked questions in the world. The one that's usually asked in the privacy of our own minds, rarely spoken aloud. What do I need to do in order to succeed in life? And no matter what arena you are or whatever trade or skill you're participating in, it usually involves some sort of sacrifice or suffering to get there. I mean, this has been really shown the last couple of weeks with all the Winter Olympics and the profiles of various athletes, where they tell their stories about the training, the trial and error, the expense, the sacrifices, the time, all given up, hoping to land a spot on the podium. Short-term sacrifices to achieve a long-term goal. And it seems to make sense and be fair, and we like that. And the stories often are told in such a way that really make us smile, even if they don't end up on the podium. But Jesus says that rather than sacrifice leading to a goal, sacrifice should be the goal itself. For those who would follow him, things like victory, power, money, or medals, they all need to be reprioritized and take a back seat to suffering. The gospel that I just read takes place right after Peter's bold confession. Jesus had asked his disciples, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And they gave him a list of possibilities. And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter shouts out, "You are the Messiah." Comes out of the blue. So much so that in Matthew's gospel, Jesus actually says, "You didn't get that from any human being, Peter. This is from God himself." And then right away, Jesus starts talking and teaching about messiahship, and that the key part of being a messiah is rejection. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering. This had to not go over well when he said it, because we're talking the Messiah. The Messiah, the people thought, were to be their deliverer, to overcome sin and death, evil powers, and those nasty Romans that had conquered us. Not be overcome by them. I like it that Mark, in his relation of this account, says he told them all this quite openly. You know, like ticking off the items on a grocery list. Suffer, check. Be rejected, check. Be killed, check. Rise again, check. I mean, so plain and simple, even Peter could understand. Only he didn't. Maybe we don't either. Suffering, sacrifice, rejection. In our world, those things are okay, but they have to pay off in the long run. If it's not, then everything's in vain, right? That's how we see our things. That's how our mind frames this kind of experience, as negative it is, because our minds, as Jesus said, are often more on earthly than divine things. To be a follower of Jesus means to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for others, to deny ourselves, our goals, even our own dreams, for someone else's. This isn't a big picture, short-term loss for big-time, long-term goal, because even our long-term goals that we might have are still earthbound, not eternal. Now, this means loving just like Jesus, which he tells us means suffering just like Jesus. Period. David Brooks, in his really good book, The Road to Character, starts off by distinguishing between resume and eulogy virtues. Resume virtues are the things you list on your resume. They're ambitious and career-oriented. They're also pretty external. It's what you've achieved or what your goals are, and they're always slanted to make you look as favorable as possible. Eulogy virtues are what's said about you at your funeral, your relationship, your impact on others, your wake. These are deeper, and we have very limited control on them because it's what other people have seen in us. And oftentimes, they reflect our own perseverance and struggle and duress and maybe how we helped others in theirs. Now, most of us would say that eulogy values are much more important than resume values. But the thing is, we don't live like that, if that's true. And that's the point that Brooks is trying to get across by talking about all these people who did live that way. And I think in this kind of matrix, the whole life of Jesus, what were his resume values? Well, he told some cool parables, healed a bunch of people, and gathered a following. But what's his eulogy values? That he suffered and died for us on a cross. He rose again on the third day. He'll be coming again in glory. You can see where his counterintuitive definition of what success means comes from, that sort of nature. And it's the difference between gaining your life and losing your life is how you live that life and suffer in that life for others. He says, take up your cross. And what a horrible thing to say to people in that generation. He's saying, live in such a way where you deserve execution in the most painful, shameful way that human beings had come up with. By defining suffering and rejection and death as success, Jesus is striving to undercut all those who would define it differently, that it's about winning and security and comfort and acclaim. Now, if we're really honest, most of us, we're a lot like Peter. We don't want that. Not for him, not for us. We can understand why he says what he does. His reaction to Jesus saying this is what he's going to do. But do we hear what Jesus says to him? Basically, are you ashamed of me? And do we realize the implications of that? What Jesus' own eulogy would be about us. The thing is, none of us really choose suffering. It usually comes to us unexpectedly and unbidden. Jesus isn't calling us to masochism and to do some sort of flagellation of our bodies. But he wants us to realize that when we suffer, and we will, we need to embrace it like he does. He promises that those who would follow him could expect that sort of thing, suffering, rejection, and death just as well. And the proper response to all that? Here you go, self-denial, taking up a cross, following, losing your life. Who wants to do that? Paul reminds us of the example of Abraham, who was reckoned as righteous. His trust amid despair, his faith in the face of abject reality of what was possible and what was not, his obedience somehow thinking that and knowing that the Lord will provide, all that arose from a hope that was fleshed out and strengthened as he dealt with his pain and doubt, dealt with it with God. Somehow the suffering and the rejection showed him he was on the right track. A cross that is borne by us, even if it makes us weak, even if it causes us to stumble every now and then, reveals our identification with Christ our Savior. That's the upside of suffering. We get to share his fate in the world. And Abraham and Jesus, suffering puts us in pretty good company. The thing is, we go to great lengths in our day and age to avoid suffering, medicating ourselves to dull pain or keep us from feeling sad. We insulate our loved ones against contact with those who are diseased or dangerous or depraved or different. We hand out participant ribbons to everyone so that no one feels like they're a loser. It doesn't work. Suffering's still gonna hurt. But Jesus says it isn't anything we need to avoid, especially when love is involved. Suffering intensifies our existence. It strengthens our resolve. Suffering, in a way, makes life worth living. A mother presented with her newborn baby right after a painful delivery. A marathon runner crossing the finish line and collapsing. A bunch of firefighters after 48 hours of dealing with a blaze, leaning against their truck in exhaustion. That isn't pain on their faces. That's joy. Joy only felt because they put everything they had into what they were doing, their heart and their soul. That pain didn't hurt them. It defined them. It made the suffering sweet. That's what Christ calls us to. Radical obedience, come what may. And he doesn't soft pedal it. He doesn't paint a rosy picture so that more people will join up. From the start, plainly, he tells the crowds it's going to get worse before it gets better. There's a reason that the root of disciple is discipline. One of my three heroes in history is Ernest Shackleton. And he put an ad in a London paper around the turn of the century, recruiting people to go on his Antarctic expedition. The ad read like this. Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger. Safe return? Doubtful. Honor and recognition in case of success. Put that little thing in the newspaper and he got 5,000 applicants the first week to choose from. Men that were willing to embrace suffering as part of a grand adventure. Jesus calls us in the same way. And maybe we should approach our acknowledgement that we are Christians in those kind of terms. He calls us to the same kind of risk-filled, comfort-denying, dangerous mission. He's not offering security or protection. There's no guarantees of success, only peril and pain. He's inviting us to go out on a limb with him. Not because we need to get something, but because we want to. Because he's out there already for us. So that question, I believe that what I need to do in order to succeed in life, in divine, not human terms, is just that. To embrace that suffering and beyond. To go with my Savior because he dares me to. If any of you want to follow me, you must deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. That's the upside of suffering. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.